Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Rita Sue Will Show.
Might as well put your hands together.
Rita Sue Will Show. BlogTalkRadio.com. Rita Sue Will Show.
Nothing matters. What's the problem? Go. Work it. 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 Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. Good morning. Good morning. What's up, everybody? Listen up. Hey, I got three questions for you real quick. Who will talk about the things young people really want to talk about? Rita Sue will. And who will answer their questions on the air? Rita Sue will. And who will remind everybody else that age is more than just a number? Rita Sue will. What's going on, everybody? And welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rita Sue Will Show. Baby, look, you have just entered into Aunt Rita's Crimson Latte right here on KGCMRadio.com. And this is where we talk about the things young people want to talk about. We answer their questions right here on the air. And we even take time to honor and feature one of our young people every Saturday morning on this show. And so, hey, it's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning, and I can't wait to get started. Have a wonderful guest coming up, and I know you guys are going to love him as much as I do. We're going to talk about some things that we really need to, you know, kind of get a handle on. We don't usually talk about this type of thing, but it is absolutely necessary. It is needed. It is a must, okay? So we're going to do that before I get ahead of myself. We're going to do things to keep things off right, so you know how we do. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow and close. Thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And before we go another further, listen, I got to say good morning to my mama, Miss Edna Pemberton, the one, the only, Miss P. So listen, everybody, hey, now remember, I know she's out there doing her thing in a big, big community of Oak Cliff, probably already this morning. Now listen, the Oak Cliff community is continuing their beautification efforts and their economic development. And I know you want to know how you can be involved, especially those of you who are in the Oak Cliff community. So this is what I need for you to do. I need for you to go to Oak Cliff, go to the heart of Oak Cliff, 3662 West Camp Wisdom Drive, and that is where you will find Southwest Center Mall. Go into the mall on the first floor. Go over to your right towards Center Stage, and after you passed Center Stage, look over to your left, and you will see a room called the Community Room, and that is where it all goes down. That's where you will find Miss P. So listen, if she can tell you exactly what you need to do to get involved with the Oak Cliff community, okay, and with the beautification effort and the economic development. Now, I'm telling you this, you guys, don't miss out, okay? So a lot of times we like to wait until the very last minute, and then we wonder why someone else is coming into what we call our community and taking what we think is our money. Well, it's because we are leaving all that money at the table, all right? So if you want that money, you got to get up early in the morning, get up when the sun comes up, and go and get it, okay? Go to Oak Cliff, go to talk to Miss P. Tell her her daughter Rita sent you, all right? She'll know exactly what you're talking about. All right, well, now with that being said, I got to give a shout-out to a few people who had some birthdays this past week. Hey, and with that being said, I want to send a happy birthday out to everybody who has a birthday in the month of April, but more specifically, at this particular moment, I just got a few people who I want to send a special birthday shout out to, and I'm hey, you know, there's some people I just got to go ahead and get a shout out to. So first of all, the chaplain, the one, the only, Miss Lady herself, my sister. She is the one who she and her husband own KGCMRadio.com. and she allowed me to have a radio show. She entrusted her listeners to me every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. So happy birthday to my sister, the chaplain. Happy birthday to my manager, my boss, but more specifically, my friend, Mr. O. Lou Ebo. He had a birthday on April 6th. Happy birthday. Got a birthday coming up for Mr. Micah Hopwood. That's my boy right there. Happy birthday, Mike. And also, happy birthday to my boogaloo. That is my grandson. Yes, I do have two grandchildren. My oldest son, Bryce, is married, and he and his beautiful, wonderful, lovely wife, Miss Tamara, have two beautiful children. And the boogaloo, the oldest child, Mr. TJ Travion Jermaine Williams, just turned the big 3 years old. His birthday was Thursday. And happy birthday, TJ. That's from Gigi. So now listen, and once again, happy birthday, happy anniversary to those who are celebrating in the month of April. And I know God has blessed you again with another wonderful, wonderful year of bliss and another wonderful year of another year to be born, okay? So I gave you some more breath in your body. So we are going to be grateful and thankful. Yes, Lord, we're going to make the most of it, right? That's right. All right, now listen. Now, you know this is tax season. We are at the end of tax season. So let me go ahead and say this. If you have not already done your taxes, go ahead and get those taxes done. And let me just tell you this one thing. If you still need your taxes done, you can reach out to, it's a gentleman by the name of Alanda Perkins with Fast Track Tax. I'm telling you, you will be so glad you did, okay? Alanda Perkins. Perkins is his last name, P-E-R-K-I-N-S. And let me tell you, you can find him on Facebook, okay? He has a Facebook page, so Alanda Perkins. Look him up on Facebook and tell him Rita sent you, all right? I told him that I would mention him on the radio show. He does such a great job. I promise you, if you go to him, you will not regret it. So go ahead and reach out to Alanda Perkins. Get them taxes done. Look, don't be in trouble with the IRS. Get your taxes done. Get them done. Get them done. All right, and I want to send a special thank you out to Mr. DeMarcus Hicks and Brontney Williams. That's DeMarcus and my son, Brontney, for last week taking over the show for me when I had to, I had an appointment myself. I had to go out and cancel some things. And, you know, I didn't want to cancel the show, and they volunteered to take over the show for me. And thank you all. Thank you, too, for that. And thank you all for listening in on them. I want to thank my special guest last week, Miss Bianca Naka, who understood that, you know, Miss Rita has something to do. And so the boys took over, and you guys did an amazing job. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And once again, I just got to say thank you. Y'all did a great job, my baby. So big up, yeah. You asked her just the right questions. You gave her time to, you know, to talk about what she does. You know, she wants to be in radio and everything. So thank you for that. And for those of you who didn't hear it last week, you can go to my Facebook page, the Crimson Cancer Facebook page, or you can go to Rita Williams' Facebook page. And the link is on there, so you can click on the link and listen to the show. And that goes for any show that we have done so far. You can click on my Facebook page and click on any link of the show, or you can go to kgcmradio.com. You can also click on the link that way, okay? And once again, so those of you who are just waking up and tuning in, you have just entered into Aunt Rita's Crimson Cafe. Okay, I apologize. My guest is trying to get in, and he's having a difficult time with that. I'm going to try and send him some information one more time. So listen, for those of you who are just waking up and tuning in, you have just entered into Aunt Rita's Crimson Cafe on kgcmradio.com, and this is where we talk about the things young people want to talk about. We answer their questions right here on the air, and we even take time to, you know, we even read a letter. Our young people write letters to the show, and we try, you know, to answer their letters as well. So we're going to take time to do all that, too. Well, my guest is trying to get in. But once again, okay, now listen, I have just a couple of more announcements to make while he's trying to do that. I want to send another thank you out to Pastor Jermaine G. Landrum. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Landrum. Yes, indeed. So, everybody at Zion Baptist Church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we had a musical workshop last week. That's why I'm a little bit hoarse right now still. But we had a music workshop last week, and Pastor Jermaine Landrum from New Orleans, Louisiana, Ebenezer Baptist Church, what they call Holy Ghost headquarters. Mm-hmm, that's right. We had a he was our clinician on last week, and he did an amazing job. He taught us some wonderful songs, and man, we've had him here like three or four times previously, and this is, I think, maybe his fifth or sixth time coming. But at any rate, we love having him here every single year. Can't wait till next year. So thank you, Pastor Landry, for coming from Louisiana to spend a little time at Zion Baptist Church. And man, I'm telling you, we had such a great time. The concert was amazing. But even more than that, we had some wonderful teachers as well last week. Brother James Lewis from James Lewis and Promise. Brother Lewis taught us some songs too, some worship songs, and we sang them during praise and worship. He did such a great job. So thank you, Brother Lewis, for showing up. Also, we had another teacher, Miss Tracy Papula. She's a member of Zion Baptist Church. So, yeah, Deacon Evans put that together. And I got to send a thank you to Brother Sam Evans, too. He is the one who puts this together every single year. And gets better and better every year. So thank you, Sam. Thank you, Deacon Evans. Thank you, Pastor Landrum, Tracy Papula, Reverend Hughes, and also to definitely Pastor Landrum for coming out and for being with us, and for everybody, all the choir members who came out. We had some guest members who came out to be a part of the choir, from other churches, and that was amazing as well. So, hey, y'all, I can't wait till next year. We're going to do this again. And Pastor Landrum, we need you to come back. Yeah, come on back. And bring your choir, too, so we can sing with them. You know, I've been saying that every year, and I really, really would love for that to happen. I know it's going to happen. One more announcement, everybody. We have an Easter egg hunt this morning at Zion Baptist Church at 10 a.m., 2517 Dow Rock Road, Rowlett, Texas. Okay, Zion Baptist Church, an Easter egg hunt for the babies at 10 o'clock a.m. So bring the kids on out there. Have a whole bunch of fun. And y'all, listen, this is Easter weekend, and you know, I'm a Christian, so I celebrate Christmas and Easter really, really big, you know, because I do believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of that. I know being a Christian, sometimes people say that we're judgmental, but sometimes it seems like that we are judged more and more harshly than anybody else. But you know what? That's okay. That's the way they did Jesus, so hey, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then, of course, we'll be judged and we'll be treated like he was. So it's cool, though. It's cool. I'm a Christian and not ashamed of it. So we're going to go on with the show, okay? But listen, everybody, tomorrow is Sunday. Remember to go to church. And if you don't have a church home, you can meet me at Zion Baptist Church, 2517 Dow Rock Road, Rowlett, Texas. And tomorrow church begins at 8 a.m. Yeah, you got to get up early, 8 o'clock a.m., all right? So now, back to the show. If you're just waking up and tuning in, you have just entered into Aunt Rita's Crimson Cafe right here on KGCMRadio.com. And once again, you could call in to 773-897-6291. We have a special guest who met me here early this morning. Bless his heart, and I see we already got a couple people on the line, calling in on the line. But I'm going to get to you guys on the line, okay? So don't hang up. But we have a special guest on the line. Let me see if he's with us. I believe he is. None other than the one, the only, Mr. Lloyd August. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Somebody who I've known for many, many years, wonderful. He does work with young people just like I do. So he has a lot of, he has a lot of patience. But he's also, you know, he's a more of a disciplinarian, which is what our babies need these days. But we're here to talk about something a little bit different than working with young people. Brother August, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, good to have you on this morning. Very good to have you
on. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so listen, everybody. We are here today to talk about medical emergencies. So now, and this is a subject that Brother August and I have talked about for, you know, for quite a while, because there is a great concern with that. There is an issue with us and these medical emergencies. So, and I'll let him tell more about it, but I just want to go ahead and bring the issue up as something that we need to talk about, because in our communities, especially in our churches and our organizations, we typically are not prepared for medical emergencies, and especially with the way all of these natural disasters are coming up, these floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, and everything. Also, you have, you know, and dare I say, I'm going to say it, shootings, even in the church, shootings in the schools, just a lot of hatred going on. And with the, you know, with our current situation with foreign policy, you never know when a medical emergency is going to arrive. And rather than sitting around and waiting for someone to come and administer first aid or CPR, we should have people in our organizations and in our churches who know exactly what to do, who won't panic, but who know what to do while waiting for the first responders to show up. What will your members of your congregation do while waiting for the ambulance to show up, waiting for a paramedic to show up? Something we should already know. So that's why I brought Lloyd August on the phone this morning. That's why I had him on the show this morning. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to be real with each other because, you know, we and another thing, churches and organizations, you cannot get everything for free. We have someone here who offer these, you know, offer these training classes, but everybody wants them for free. So we're going to talk about what we can do to change our mindset. And I'm going to continually bring this up even after today's show. So we're going to change the mindset of our people to make sure that we know exactly what we need to do in medical emergencies. Okay, now, am I on the right track, Brother August?
Oh, yes, ma'am, you sure are.
All right, cool. All right, so the first thing I wanted to ask is, what made you go into this particular field?
Well, it really started when I was at Prairie View. One of my classmates had a seizure while we were taking a test, and nobody knew what to do, and we stood around maybe about 10 or 15 minutes. Even though we tried to make him comfortable, we weren't aware of what to do. But bringing it closer to home, a lot of times when we go to these national conventions and we have all these youth, and after they perform their ministry, a lot of them are exertion, they're excited, they pass out. You don't know if they have a medical history, and it seemed like every time we had a program, there was some kind of medical emergency, but nobody knew what to do. Of course, I had a nurse on my staff that we took with us on most of the trips, but about 15 years ago, I started taking the training because I wanted to be more involved. Even though I took medical classes and I was an EMT at my younger age, I still didn't know the proper things to do as far as CPR when it came to the advanced courses that they have now. Also, it seems like a lot of times when there are emergencies, most people are scared to get involved because they don't know what to do. So that's when I started taking time to putting together a training program so that people would be more and apt to help instead of just standing around or wanting to just call 911 because we're not sure how long it would take for, you know, the EMT or the paramedics to arrive.
Right, and that's awesome too. And I know a lot of us, especially when we're, for those of us who are involved in churches and involved in other organizations, there are a lot of, like you said before, there are a lot of activities that we have our young people involved in or even adults involved in, and sometimes we get excited, go overheated, or whatever the case may be. And so it's always good to have somebody there who knows exactly what to do. And I know I mentioned this before. I mentioned this earlier during my introduction of you coming on. So you offer classes. Can you be more specific of what type of classes you offer?
Well, I offer different CPR first aid classes. Let me say this first. A lot of times people, they'll take a CPR class, but it might be just teaching them adult CPR. But it doesn't include the CPR for infants and children, nor does it include the first aid. So when I say I teach CPR, that means I teach a CPR adult, infant, and child along with the first aid. Now, there's a difference between CPR. CPR deals with heart attack, respiratory problems. The first aid deals with burns, bruises, cuts, broken bones, those kind of things. So a lot of times when people say they've taken CPR, they might have taken a CPR class, but they might not have taken all of the components that make up the CPR, adult, infant, and child, and the first aid.
Right, right, right. Awesome. So remember that, guys. First aid, CPR, two different things, two different things. And, you know, he offers a training. So now when you offer the training to different organizations, do you go to them or do they come to you?
No, I've always gone to them. What I do is on-site training. When I first started with the Red Cross, people would come in, but mostly it was from businesses. The churches weren't getting the training because there was nobody that actually would come to them. So what I do is I do what I call on-site training. So I'll go to your facility and do the training.
Okay, great, great. Now, listen, everybody, you hear this, right? So we have someone who knows what he's doing, and he will come to you to offer the training, okay? And we need this in our communities. We just absolutely need this. We have so many people who go through, and I've seen it myself. I was at church on a Sunday, and we had one of our deacons right there. You could tell that, you know, something was wrong with him. He was actually directing the choir, and we saw you know, he was sweating bullets. He thought it was just from the directing. But, you know, after a while, he grabbed his chest a couple of times. And so right then and there, there we are in the middle of church service, and someone is having a heart attack right there. And so we need somebody, you know, we need not just somebody, but we need some people who are trained to know exactly what to do, you know, while we're waiting for the paramedics to show up. Because like you just said, you never know when they're going to show up. But, you know, so let me get to it, you know, because I can go on and on about this. So now listen, guys, if you're just waking up and tuning in, once again, you have just entered into Aunt Rita's Crimson Cafe right here on KGCMRadio.com. And you can call in and speak. We're talking to Lloyd August about being prepared for medical emergencies. Now, if you are prepared, you won't have to try to get prepared. You won't panic, you know, when you've had the training and you know exactly what to do. So you can call in to 773-897-6291. All right, so now we're going to do another question, and then we're going to go on to another part of our show, and then we'll come back with some more questions. So just you know, I talked about this before. So the training that you offer, there is a small cost to it, correct?
Yes. My classes are through the Red Cross, so they are pretty much what we call certified classes. They're a two-year certification. The reason why I started teaching this, if we're going to have real talk, is because a lot of times people do not want to pay for the class. So I took all of the training, and there are different levels of CPR first aid at the Red Cross, which is for lay responders, medical emergency responders, and first responders, depending on the class that you take. Now, I started teaching it and taking it into the community because I found a cheaper way to offer the class instead of them going to the Red Cross. We're authorized to teach the Red Cross class, but it is a fee, as just mine is a lot cheaper than what you would take if you took the class at the American Red Cross.
That's good, and there's nothing wrong with that because, listen, once again, now I'm talking to my community, everything is not going to be free, okay? But something like this, a life-saving training, is absolutely worth the money. It's worth whatever money that it costs. It's absolutely worth it. I mean, we can go shopping and pay $100, $200 for a dress, $200 and $300 for some shoes, then we can pay to get some life-saving training. That's absolutely worth it. So now listen, everybody, we're going to take a break from the questions right for just for a second, and because we have another part of our show. And so you and I, Brother August, we talked about this. We have some young people who write into the show, and they write their letters, and we answer their questions. So I'm going to go to one of the letters that someone wrote in a few weeks ago, and I'm going to read their letter, and I'll give them my opinion. And it's a young lady. And then you'll give your opinion, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, now listen, everybody. If you would like your letter read on the air, if you'd like me to give my opinion to your questions, you can send it to the Rita Sue Will Show at gmail.com. All right? And then I would also post my answer to the Facebook page. And the letter remains anonymous. No matter how you send, how you email your letter to me, I do not tell anybody which email, you know, the letter came from. Because people are always asking, hey, was that my child? Was that my child? Or was that, you know, was that about me? And I never answer that. We have listeners all over. I have listeners in Zimbabwe. All over the world. So, no, these letters, I'm not going to tell you, first of all, where the letter came from or the email or anything like that. And then one other thing is for us to remember, parents, we are not here to bash our children. We are here to be honest with them, but we just want to make sure we keep them on the right track. All right, so here's the letter. It says, Dear Aunt Rita, thank you for coming back on. I hope you get a chance to read my letter on the air. I am 17 years old. I will graduate from high school next month. I plan to attend college to major in business management. I have already received some scholarship money. I don't have a full scholarship, but I'm still applying so I can get as much as I can. My grades are pretty good. I think I'll do well in college. I have a part-time job right now, but it hasn't caused my grades to slip. I believe I have been very responsible. Well, my issue is my boyfriend proposed to me, and I said yes. Needless to say, my parents totally flipped. They said I'm too young to make a move like that. But like I said, I've been pretty responsible, so I think my parents are being unreasonable. My boyfriend is 22 and is in school and works part-time. He will be a teacher when he graduates in 3 years. I love my parents, but I have to live my own life. What do you think? Signed, Ready for the World. Okay, so, Miss Ready for the World, thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for writing into the show. And we often have these letters to come in where, you know, children and parents don't agree on something, and, you know, they're trying to settle an argument. Sometimes it's career, sometimes it's, you know, just a bunch of things. And this time apparently is marriage. All right, so let me just say, I'm sure you know your parents want the very, very best for you. You've mentioned you've been responsible. You've mentioned the things that you're doing right. You haven't mentioned anything that you have done that probably could have been done better. And going through childhood, I'm sure there are some things, some decisions that we make that are not necessarily the best decisions. And we have been, you know, we have had to have our parents to bail us out in one way or another. I'm not saying bail as in, you know, bail money, going to jail, but, you know, in some way to help get us out of trouble that we've gotten ourselves into. It looks to me like your parents are just trying to look out for you and trying to allow you to live your life a little bit. You're very young. You're 17 years old. Now, does that mean I'm saying you should not get married? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is your parents are trying to look out for your best interest. They understand that you have an entire life to live, you know, and that right now you're just about to graduate from high school. You're about to go to college, and a lot of times when we are involved with someone, we put college on the back burner, and we don't follow through with the plan that we had initially, and we think we can just go back and pick it up a year later, and it doesn't always happen that way. Life does happen. So let's say you do get married. What happens next? You have children. Now, what about college? Am I saying you still can't go to college? No, but a lot of times we have to look at our priorities. Your children will come before your college education, because they will be priority. It takes full-time parents to raise children. It takes a lot to raise children. I have four boys of my own, and it takes a lot of your time, most of your time, because your life, once you have children, your life is no longer about you. It's about your children. It's no longer about what's best for you. It's about what's best for your children. And so then everything else gets put on the back burner. So before you jump into marriage, let me just offer this advice. I'm not sure if you're a Christian or not, but because I'm a Christian show and you wrote into my show, you may I'm sure you understand that I will give you this from that perspective. Why don't you pray about it first and talk to God about it? Not only tell God what you want, but listen to what His guidance is for your life. Listen to Him tell you what you, you know. Listen to Him tell you what your next step should be. Now, if your boyfriend really loves you, he will understand that. Now, he is 5 years older than you, though, so he may be ready to move on with his career. Although you said he will be graduating in 3 years from college, so it sounds like both of you may need to slow down just a little bit, okay? You're about to start college, and he has 3 years to go. So you may want to just slow down a little bit. Let's get through your education, get into your career, let him graduate and become a teacher, and then maybe we'll think about getting married and then having children and things like that. But have a talk with your parents. Talk to them like an adult. Don't just throw a fit and get an attitude, okay? It makes a huge difference. Maybe say a prayer with your parents that God will move into your relationship. You don't want to ruin your relationship with your parents over one decision in your life, okay? So I hope that helped out a little bit. Lloyd August, what do you say?
To me, being a leader in ministry, we both had the opportunity to help kids, rear them in a direction so that once they graduate high school, try to prepare them for a future. And when I say this, it brought one of my youth to mind that actually attended Prairie View. And while she was at Prairie View, she was dating a gentleman out of Dallas, of course. And what they did that was so wonderful, he supported her in her education. And once she just graduated, got a teaching degree, and he's moving down here, and now they're planning their wedding. But the key thing was he allowed her time to get her education so they would have a better future. And it's so important that you set yourself up for the future. As young people, sometimes we're not thinking ahead, and then 5 or 6 years, we go back and we look back and we say, well, maybe if I had time to do this, I would have a better life for me and my children. So I'm just emphasizing that it's important to build a relationship, and if it's a strong relationship, they can stay together with her still going through school and then think about marriage once she's situated because, again, he is a few years older and he had a chance to establish himself. So allow her that time, too, to get herself together, and the relationship will be stronger. Because once you have a degree, you can command what you want in life. It's just important that they both have the opportunity to support each other in their education so they can have a better future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. You hear that, young lady. Just, you know, take some time to, like he said, build your relationship with your boyfriend. And then if your boyfriend loves you like you say he does, or like he says he does, he'll wait for you. He'll allow you to do those things. He's 5 years older, so, you know, like Brother August just said, he had a lot of time to think about what he wanted to do. And so prayerfully, he'll give you the time to think about what you really want to do and for you to make a decision. But more importantly, yeah, like he said, education. And that way you have a better life in your marriage and with your family, better equipped to take care of children, you know, and to establish some roots and everything. So hopefully that helped. I have a caller on the line. Let me see if I can get this person on. Phone number 6176. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, who is this? I think I know who this is, but for the sake of our listeners, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? Hello?
Yes.
What's your name? Tell the people your name.
Tamara. Stop, TJ.
Oh, I hear some babies in the background. But listen, everybody, this is my daughter-in-law, Miss Tamara Williams, and I hear my babies in the background. How you doing this morning, Tamara?
Good. About to get ready to go to TJ's birthday party.
Oh, getting ready for the birthday party. We just turned the big 03. Y'all, I call her Honey Bun. Honey Bun, tell me this. Have you been listening in on the show?
Yes.
Now, what do you think about what we said? First of all, tell me your opinion about the letter that I just read.
I think she should wait because getting married at a young age and having kids is a really big responsibility. I'm not going to say it's bad, but it's a lot of work. And it's, yeah,
it is a lot of work. And so you're speaking from, I can say this, y'all, because she's, like I said, that's my honey bun. Because you're speaking from experience, right? It's not easy, right?
It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's like, it'll get easy once they grow up and you get your life situated.
About that.
I'm getting it. You know, my set day of graduating is June 6th.
Okay. Awesome. Absolutely. Okay, now let me ask you this. We were talking about being ready for medical emergencies. Now, what do you think about that? How do you think about if someone offers you training, CPR and first aid training? You have two babies, so you want to be ready for anything, you know, in case anything happens, right? Let's say if you're out swimming and baby goes underwater, you pull the baby out of water, baby's not breathing. You want to know what to do, correct?
Yes.
So, if someone offered you training, do you think it's worth paying for? Would you take it?
Yes, I would.
Okay, good. Because you being a young person, I'm going to need you to help me to spread the word. Now, Brother August, you heard that, right?
Oh, yes, I did.
You would take it. And so because I want to get our young people involved, too, because we have a lot of young parents who also need this training, because the babies, sometimes babies come away from us. They can fall into the pool, or they can fall off a swing, or, you know, anything like that. And I believe that they need this training. And so, Honey Bun, you're going to help me spread the word and make sure that we have people who are trained to take care, to administer first aid and CPR. All right? You got me? Hey, bud.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, hang on the phone with us. Okay, I'm gonna go back to Brother August. So, Brother August, we got just a few more questions here now. So, let's talk about trends. So, have you noticed that a lot of more people do people ask for this training more often after a disaster, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, what I found out a lot of times that during a medical emergency, people really want to be involved, but once things when they calm down, people go back to their normal lifestyle as far as just not worrying about it. It's just when something really happens, people are really excited about doing something there. It's just like the biggest example I can give, during Katrina, my team of trained emergency responders, we went to New Orleans to help out. And the main reason why we went down there is because we knew churches that were part of the national convention, and we wanted to see what we could do to help out. There was not enough manpower. And if something happens in your city, Dallas, and the first responders can't get to you because of the infrastructure, the first 72 hours, you're responsible for taking care of the city. So if we are trained in our own community, we can give that much-needed care until advanced help can come along. And I think, really, most people don't take the training because they're scared that they don't know what they're doing, or they think they're going to get sued. But there's a law, the Good Samaritan law, covers you under your reasonable service or training. So whatever I teach you, you're covered because you're doing it within good faith. Plus, nowadays, there's so much modern technology that we use. You're not doing the old CPR where you're putting your mouth on somebody. There's equipment that we use nowadays that teach you that's much safer.
Right. And so, yeah, and I was going to get to that, too, as well as how the training has, you know, has advanced just as well as time has. And then also, now, what about some people who maybe would like to do what you do, you know, learn as much as you do, to be able to go out there and teach as well? You know, how can they do that?
There's training through the American Red Cross. There's training through the American Heart Association. What I did, like I said, I took a medical emergency response course. So I was already EMT for years. But afterwards, when I started volunteering with the Red Cross, I took all of their first aid CPR training. Now, I had to pay for the classes. They don't offer free classes. Once you take the training, then if you want to be what they consider an instructor candidate, you can go in front of their board, and there's a test that you have to take and their skill sets you have to do. And if they feel like you have the skills, then you can the training, and once you pass that, you can be certified to be an instructor. But once again, that's something that they will have to pay for. They don't offer it as a free class. You do have to sign up as if you're a regular student taking the class. And once you take the training, then you can require yourself to become an instructor if that's your way that you want to go.
Right, right. And so I think that even though, as you mentioned before, even though the course is not free, I believe it's worth the money. And I believe if anybody wants to be a part of it, once again, if you'll pay for a new dress, if you'll pay to go to the movies, if you'll pay to go on a cruise, you should be willing to pay to learn some life-saving techniques. I think it's absolutely necessary, and we need to push for that. And I know there's a lot of young people who will be interested in that, and I want to get them involved in that because I think if our young people get involved, it would encourage some of the older people to get involved and to want to make sure, especially the churches and organizations, who want to make sure that their members are ready in emergency situations. I know at Zion, we do have some. We know we have a few nurses there, but I want to make sure that, you know, I'll bring it up to my pastor to make sure that we can offer some training, some refreshing, because some people took training, you know, years ago and they think they still know what they're doing. No, I think this time, because I believe if you're certified, it's for 2 years, right?
All right, and let me touch on that. Yes, certifications are for 2 years, but that includes the nurses, too. They have to be recertified, too. Just because you're a nurse doesn't mean that you have the technology throughout your lifetime as a nurse. They have to take continuous education and CPR training, too, but it depends on what kind of nurse, because every nurse does not do trauma or emergency care. So, and just like a lot of the youth that are thinking about going to college and they want to work in the medical field, they have to take CPR, too. So we have what we call a first response team at our church that works on Sundays. They're made up of mm-hmm. medical people and some that are not, but most of them take a CPR training class in order to be within that ministry. And even the youth, like I said, that want to do it, you know, that's a good avenue for them to be involved in the church, take the CPR training, go to college, and they still have the tools they need to while they get in school and also while they attending their church.
Right, right, exactly. I totally agree. And so let me ask this. For people who are listening and people who will hear this, who will click on this link and listen to it later on, well, first let me do a station identification real quick. I haven't done that in a couple of minutes. So listen, everybody, if you're just waking up and tuning in on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning, you have just entered into Aunt Rita's Crimson Cafe right here on KGCMRadio.com. And we're talking to a good friend of mine, Mr. Lloyd August, who is, you know, we're talking about being prepared for medical emergencies. And I found, and I know he's found, that a lot of our churches and organizations are just really not ready for medical emergencies. We sit around and we wait, you know, we call 911. We're waiting for the first responders to show up. But what are we doing while we're waiting for the first responders? Well, that's something that we need to be prepared for. Medical emergencies will come up, not saying I wish somebody would get sick, but it's a part of life. Medical emergencies do come up, and they will come up. And so you want to have people, not just one or two people, but you want to have the majority of your people prepared so that, you know, it lessens the people who are panicky. And so you want to have people who are prepared. And so one of the things that we're mentioning, and one thing I want to stress, is that training is not free, and it should not be free. But these are life-saving techniques that will be well worth your money. Okay, you can't replace. This is something you just can't replace. You can't replace people, and you can't replace the training that you'll get from someone who knows what they're doing. And the certification is absolutely worth their money. And if you've had CPR training, first aid training before, remember that certification is only for 2 years. So that means it's time for you to be certified again, right? And we have somebody on the line who, you know, who goes from place to place. He will travel. He does on the spot training. So we want to make sure we get our people trained up. I'm going to continue to emphasize this on not only this show, but I'll mention this on my shows to come to every show I have from now on, just like I mentioned about the economic development, just like I mentioned about the jobs, and just like I mentioned everything else, I'll be mentioning being trained to be prepared for medical emergencies, because this is extremely important. So now, with that being said, if someone wanted you to come out, if we have some a church, an organization listening who want you to come out, how can they reach you?
Well, my website is lay-procpr.com. That's lay-procpr.com. On my website, they have my email address and I have my phone number. Or they can go through your website if possible, and they can reach me that way.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that I put that on my website. I'll put that on my and listen, if you did not get that, you can send an email to the Rita Sue Will Show and just say, we want to be trained. We want to be ready for medical emergencies, and I'll make sure I get you his information, because it's extremely important. It's very, very important. All right. Hey, now listen. So I want to say this. Brian Williams, wake up. That's my son. And I want to say, I got to give a shout-out to him. I give a shout-out to a bunch of our young people. But I got to do this for my son real quick, because Brian, he does a lot of digital, what is it called? Graphic design, that's what it is. Sorry, I drew a blank. He does a lot of graphic designs. But Brian, he was at a rehearsal with me one day with James Lewis and Promise, and we were talking about, Brother Lewis was talking about doing a business card and getting some business cards made. And right there while we were talking, my son created a logo for James Lewis and Promise. And it was so good that James Lewis took it and put it on the business card and had business cards made with it. So thank you for that, Brian. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep up the great work. Listen, I have another young person, Shatori Watson. Shatori is writing a book. She's 15 years old. And right now she is on chapter 3 of a book. It is a wonder. It's a novel. And, oh, my goodness, when I tell you how great it is wonderful. And so, Shatori, let me know when you're done with your book, and we'll make sure we're going to get your book published. We'll get it edited, and we'll get it published. So, and Brother August, I know you know I work with young people still. I still work with young people, not necessarily doing drill team right now, but praise dance, mimes, we do theater, and, you know, just a whole bunch of other things. And so sometimes I just got to stop and give a shout-out to our young people who are doing some great things, and I want to make sure that we have not forgotten about you. Make sure they know that.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. And I know you work with young people, too. And I've seen the work that you do. And I'll say this, everybody. Listen, all of my young people at Zion love Brother August. And Brother August, I will tell you this. There are some of them you don't even know yet. You didn't know. They weren't in drill team with us. But they've heard so much about you that they still want to meet you.
Well, hopefully one day, the drill team ministry will be as strong as it was in the past. And that's what my prayer is. You know, as leaders working with youth, you do such a great work with the kids down there. I mean, I'm always listening and hearing things. If we were just right down the street, we'd probably be. But I really, really appreciate what you do in the community, especially with the kids. And sometimes my kids say the same thing. They know how you used to travel down and help them with the song, and that goes a long way. And even at nationals, I mean, people don't understand the work that you do with other people. Kids, it's not easy because they're not your own kids, and you have to deal with them in a certain way because we are in ministry, and it's important that they understand that we're there in their best interest, and that's why they still respect us as adults. So, yeah, hopefully we did make some kind of impact in their lives as they were growing up, and maybe they want to bring their kids in the same programs that we were over just to give them the same opportunity they had as you.
Right, and I thank you for that. But, yeah, when I tell you Zion's kids remember you just that way as well, when they hear drill team, the first person that comes to their mind is you. and they're adults now, like you said before, they're adults now, but they're always talking about, hey, we need to do a reunion. We need to bring the drill team back. But the first person they think about is you. You taught them the difference between stepping and drilling. You taught them, you know, how not drilling only in the ministry, but how it is supposed to affect the rest of your life. You know, how it's supposed to, you know, determine your behavior in school, your behavior with your parents. Because there are certain things that they heard you say to your team. Because, you know, a lot of times when I came down there, I brought some of my young people with me. And that made a huge impression on them. And, you know, you were like, hey, you know, you can't get in trouble at home and at school and then expect to get on the floor in March with the drill team. Because,
right.
You know, it was. And so when they heard that, to them it was like, man, that's the type of discipline a lot of kids have been looking for. That, you know, and I'm not bashing the parents, but sometimes the parents don't provide. Sometimes parents let the kids get away with a little bit too much, but when they come to the drill team, it was like, no matter what your parents said, if you act up in school, you're not marching Sunday. You'll be in uniform, but you'll have to sit and watch, or you'll stand at parade rest, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Yeah,
it was,
but it was that type of discipline. It went a long way with training them for life, preparing them for the real world and preparing them for life, because they have to be disciplined to go through this life. You know, if they're in college and their parents are not with them, they got to know, in order to pass, you got to go to class, and your professor is not your high school teacher. They're not going to remind you to turn your work in. You either turn it in or you don't, or you fail, plain and simple. So,
that's correct.
So, I mean, it's the same here, and I'm quite sure if we were in the same town, same city, Zion would be at all the programs that you put on. But with that being said, if you've got something going on out there in the big, big, beautiful city of Houston, let us know. You know me, we still love to travel. We'll come.
Well, the only thing I want to say is that if you can send your quarterback and you can send your running back from the Cowboys, we'll be more than happy to take them.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen right there. Hey, y'all, once again, you have just, if you're just waking up and tuning in, I've been speaking with my friend, my good friend, Lloyd August, here on the Rita Sue Will Show. And we've been talking about being prepared for medical emergencies. We've allowed ourselves, in my opinion, now this is, when I say this next statement, this is going to be the opinion of myself, not necessarily the opinion of KGCMRadio.com or Blog Talk Radio. This is just my own opinion. I believe we have allowed ourselves to become really, really lazy when it comes to being prepared for a lot of things. One of those things is medical emergencies. Another thing is our financial stability. We've become really, really lazy when it comes to our finances and when it comes to medical emergencies. Most of our community, we have children, we have grandchildren, but we don't take the time and the effort to make sure that they're prepared for medical emergencies unless it's free. And let me go ahead and say this. Even when it comes to someone offering a course or training for free, a lot of the class is still not full. There's still very few people who show up, as though it's not as important as other things. But let me say this. And once again, this is just Rita Sue talking. Being prepared for a medical emergency is just as important, or if not more important, than everything else going on in your lives. Because once, if we're not prepared and we happen to lose someone because we're not prepared, we can't bring that person back. Those are minutes, those are moments that we cannot take back. And we can say all day, man, I wish I knew what I could have done, or I wish things could have been better. I wish I was prepared. We can say a bunch of those things, but once something like that happens, we cannot bring that back. We can't bring that minute back, that moment back. And I believe time is one of the only things that we can never get back. We can get back a lot of stuff. We can replace shoes, clothes. I mean, if we lose our home, we can get another home. But we cannot get back time. We can't replace people, and we cannot replace time. Once a minute is gone, it's gone, and it's gone for good. We can't get that moment back. And I just can't stress that enough. I've seen it happen way too many times. We have way too many babies dying because they're in a swimming pool and they can't swim. And that's another thing we're going to talk about in another show. All of our babies need to know how to swim in deep water. Because there's no reason why one of our babies should fall into the deep end and not know how to get out of it. At least swim to the edge of the pool. okay? I'm not talking about at a lake. I'm talking about in a swimming pool. So our babies need to know how to swim. Our adults need to be trained, need to be CPR and first aid trained. And we have someone here on the line who can do it. He knows what he's doing. He's certified to train you. You'll be certified for 2 years. And then guess what? After 2 years, you'll get recertified, okay? So we have to make sure that this is important. We have to make it important. And so I am going to depend on our young people. I have one of our young people on the line. She happens to be my daughter-in-law. Honey Bun, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Honey Bun? You're still? Okay, good, good.
No.
So, you know, we're talking a lot about these medical emergencies. I got about 5 minutes left on the show. So, Honey Bun, I want you, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, and you know, Mama, you know that's what I do. I do that all the time. But I just want you to, what can you say that you think would get the people out? Or tell me this, what do you think we can do to get people to attend these trainings, these necessary trainings, especially the people in your age group, the young people? What do you think we need to do to get people out to come to these trainings?
Make flyers and pass them out to the young people.
Okay, and so now when I do this, are you going to help me with it?
Yes.
Yes, you will. Okay, good. And I have a commitment from you, right?
Yes.
Now, Honey Bun, you have a husband and 3 brothers-in-law. Are you going to get them out there too? Huh?
But I do need to. I will, but I do need to get their numbers because I lost all my contacts.
Yeah, we'll get you the numbers, and then you have 2 sisters-in-law too, so you need to get them out there too, huh?
I don't talk. Yes, I will. I will. I will.
Yeah, I don't want to hear who you don't talk to. Yes. So you got 6 people right there who you can reach out to get them involved in these trainings. And so I'm going to set up a training with Brother August, and we're going to come up with a date. And I want the class full. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now let me ask you this, Brother August. What is a good size class for you to teach at one time?
I would say anywhere from maybe 15 to 20. That's a good size class.
Okay. 15 to 20 people. All right, Honey Bun, we need to get 20 people out to this class when we set it up, okay? Tamara, I'm talking to you.
I will do that.
But if you notice, I did not say you. I said we, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to work together on this thing. We're going to work together. Now, listen, everybody. We've been talking about being prepared for medical emergencies, especially when it comes to, now I'm going to go ahead and say it, to the African-American culture. We don't see that as our top priority. So we need to change that mindset. We're going to change that mindset. So we are going to have to get the people in our culture prepared for medical emergencies. And I'm talking about the young people as well, the 20-year-old age, because they're having babies now, and we want to make sure that if something is happening with the babies, yes, of course, call 911, but we want to make sure we know what to do while we're waiting for the paramedics to show up or the first responders to show up, okay? It's very important. Well, I want to say, Brother August, thank you for coming onto the show. I got about a minute and a half left. I got to do this closing. But before I shut down the show, is there anybody that you would like to say good morning to, happy birthday to, or give a shout-out to, or whoever?
I just want to give a shout-out to all of the young people that went through the Drill Team Ministry in Dallas. I know it's been a minute since I've seen most of them, but believe me, I still think about how strong the ministry was in Dallas, and I'll always wonder where those youth are that grew up to be productive young adults now.
Awesome, outstanding. That's right. So y'all heard that. Y'all go ahead and reach out to Brother August, Lord August, on Facebook, and y'all know how to do that. All right. So now listen, everybody. Once again, If you just, hey, this is the end of the show, but you can always listen to the link. Today is Saturday. That means and tomorrow is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Make it a special point to go ahead and go on to the go on to church. If you don't have a church home, you can meet me at Zion Baptist Church, 2517 Dow Rock Road, Rowlett, Texas. My senior pastor, Reverend David L. Griggs. Love you, Pastor Griggs. Love you, First Lady Renita Griggs. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Everybody else, meet me back here next week on the show where we have James Lewis and Promise live on the air. So we're going to call it quick right here, right now. And I'll see you guys next week. 9 o'clock a.m. on the Rita Sue Will Show in the Crimson Cafe right here on KGCMRadio.com.